Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for all that He's doing on the earth. God is good and He always had a plan, and He begins His plans way ahead of time so that when everything's prepared, His people will be ready for the day that He trained them for. You know, training time is very important. That's one of the most misunderstood periods of time by ministers. Sometimes people have their own ideas about what should happen, and they base that belief on what they understand already, and they base it on what they see in others. But it's limited by their vision. See, our vision is always limited compared to God's vision. And to those who've been listening to the broadcast, you always hear me confessing that I will do all that's in God's heart. That way, when He asks me to do something, instead of considering whether I should do it or not, I jump on in there. I've geared myself up to take Him at His word and promptly obey Him. See, you gain more vision as you obey Him. Vision comes from it stems from faith, active faith. Vision always stems from active faith. The faster you act in faith, when you're in faith, you put things in motion that can't be reversed. It changes everything. When Daniel asked about the interpretation of his dream or the vision that he had, when he asked the interpretation, his understanding was unclear, and he was steadfast about getting his answer. All right, that he started it. He put something in motion that Satan could not reverse, and Satan fought it with all that he had. There was warfare. The king of Persia, see, over every country, the enemy dispatches a spirit to control that country, and they worked. They find whoever's in charge. They try to persuade them to do their will. Now, some kings don't believe in demons, in demonic spirit or demonic activity, but they're always coerced by the activity of Satan. And there's a demon spirit over every country, every city. Now, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. So Christians are the only one who can handle them. Or people that believe on Jesus Christ, they have the authority over Satan to stop their works. That's why the Lord said, pray that you pray for your leaders, that every leader in the top positions, pray so that you can live a peaceable life. The demonic activity is there, and it's against the will of God, and it always targets the covenant. That's why every country struggles against Israel. But the people who are allies to Israel, God blesses them because Israel right now is blinded. Now, I've gone off path, but I'm going somewhere with it. Daniel was the second man in charge in Persia. And the king of Persia, was the human king of Persia, is not who Daniel was fighting. This was the word calls the king's princes. The king of Persia he was fighting, that was trying to stop his answer from coming, was the demonic spirit that Satan dispatched over Persia. And these demonic spirits, their main goal is to stop the works of God. Their second goal is to conquer and work against Israel. So the enemy did not want Daniel to have the answer to his vision. So Gabriel was sent to fight, and he fought that thing for 21 days. But as long as Daniel stayed in faith and wouldn't give up, Gabriel was coming, and Gabriel won the war and came and showed him Daniel 9 and 10 and 11. Daniel 9, it talks about this. Daniel 10, 11, and 12 is the answer that he got from it. So the Lord showed him the outcome of every nation that will rise and fall And it's colder than a mystery. And it's every nation that will rise and fall till Jesus come and take back the earth. Now, when you put something in motion, it's in motion because of your faith. Heaven's going to back you up. What you speak, what you say, what you bind is bound. What you loose is loose. What you say goes when you're in faith. Now, when the Lord gives us something to do, He already has vision for it. But we catch on as we obey Him. That's why it's so important to follow God. That's the answer to all of our problems. God will guide us in the victory every time. He guided David in the victory. And many others. The prophet Elisha, the king of Syria, said, Who is for us? And who is for the king of Israel? Because they were always one step ahead of the king of Syria. And his captain, one of his men, said, "No, nobody, my lord." And now this man already checked. There was no spies among them. He said, "Nobody, my lord, but there's a prophet in Israel that's telling the king what you're saying in your bedchamber." So then they went out to Elisha. Now, the Spirit of the Lord is with us, and He'll guide us, just like He told Elisha where the king of Assyria was, so that he could tell the king of Israel, so that he could avoid him, and he could find the best battleground. Everywhere Assyria laid a trap for him, he wasn't there, and he always knew where to go, because God knows what He's doing. He guides us into victory. You can study these things for yourself. It's right there in the pages. See, all these things are true. They really happen. But and the God who was alive guiding them is alive to guide us, to help us navigate our life, to help us not marry the wrong person. That's why. But it's up to us to mix faith with what God's saying. If your emotions are too involved, you won't listen, or you may not listen in time. And we set things in motion. Heaven's operating off what we do, what we bind, what we loose, what we allow, what we disallow. Heaven backs us up. If we do right, heaven backs us up. But if we loose error in our lives, if we loose the plan of Satan in our lives, heaven will allow it because we allowed it. But I thank God when He orders our steps. When He orders our steps, that's a sovereign act of mercy and grace towards us. And every time the Lord ordered my steps and closed doors that so that I couldn't hurt myself, He knew I would thank Him for it one day. And I thanked Him for every time He helped me not take the wrong path. Even when I was lost, I was about to do things I should not have done. I'm glad I didn't do. Now, with that in mind, considering the last broadcast, the website broadcast, God is moving by Spirit. He does have a living plan, but it behooves us to train. What is God putting in your heart? You know, if we in life, we are, it's always best to live a life that attracts the Holy Spirit. When you operate in love, you can see better. You can see what's around. You can sense things. You can sense the will of the Spirit. When you take time and study the Word of God and meditate on thinking about the Word and the blessings that it's given us, when it's in your heart and you put it there and you thank God for it, and you govern your life by His Word, it's easy for the Holy Spirit to guide you. He will never harm you. He will never guide you wrong. He will always guide you in truth, and He will show you the truth about people. The truth about what's going on. The truth about what Satan is doing. It may not be what you like. It may not be what you expect. It may not be what you want to hear at the time. Because when people fall in love, for instance, they are looking at the good. But the Lord, you can't make a good decision that way. The Lord shows you everything. And sometimes there are good things about people that you can't discern by yourself. And the Lord, because we do a very poor job of reading people's hearts. Only God can do that. That's why he told us not to judge in the first place. Don't judge before the time. Jesus said, I don't judge by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear, but by righteousness I make judgments. And then he talked about the seven spirits of God that governs him. Now, the Holy Spirit, my friend, is not there to make you do something you don't want to do. He is holy. And he is represented by a female dove. Now, doves are, you know, you can startle them off if you mean. And the Holy Spirit is the same way. He doesn't want to be around evil, no kind of evil, no kind of impurity. So it behooves us to learn to think good thoughts. And the only way to do that is to receive God's word in our hearts. And then our minds will be renewed and we'll think pure thoughts. And that attracts the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want. I love it when God is around. And all the weapons of Satan I rebuke. I don't want his doubt. I don't want his unbelief. I don't want pride. I don't want lust. I don't want greed around me. All these impurities, I hate them. And I pray for people. And the enemy will always try to tempt you with people or tempt you with situations or tempt you with pride, anything like that. Those are weapons against you. They're not your friends. So when he tempts you with people, these are just people. And if you're around anybody long enough, you'll see them for what they are. But pray for the people. Pray blessings on the people that the enemy would tempt you with. That just confuses him. He didn't expect that. Take God at his word and destroy Satan's words at your own will by the word of God. Now, in order for us to go forward, I was talking in the last broadcast about how people treat the Holy Spirit, how they override his will. And they do it because of how they've been taught. Remember, all of our vision is limited compared to God's. But God's vision is not limited. And he's moving us forward for a particular plan that he has. And pray that plan into fruition, because God loves us and he's right there to help us do it. Don't look at what you can do and don't look at your limitations. Look at him. Walk on water like Peter, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. If Jesus started our faith, he's certainly able to finish it if we cooperate. And if we train, we won't fail. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us how to never fail. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us how to never fail at all, period. If you read the first verses all the way down to 10 or 11, it tells you how to never fail by adding to your faith virtue, the virtue of knowledge. It goes on and it says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you will never fall. You'll never fall, fail, collapse, drop, stop, and roll away. You'll never stop. You'll always go forward. The Lord gave me a song one time. The beginning of it says to always win and never lose. Always grow and always choose to grow in the ways of the Lord your God is coming to life. So God is good. Now, the Lord needs to interrupt some people. And he needs people that will walk in the light to do it. Remember, if you receive the rightly divided word of God in your heart, and bear in mind that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can divide the spirit and soul. It will cause you to bear light that will cut like a knife, the same way we explained it in the other broadcast, in the previous broadcast. And what's not will be exposed by the light that God helps you live. Now, I was thinking about yesterday's previous website broadcast today, and the Lord put something on my heart. One reason people didn't fall in place like soldiers. You know, some there are soldiers out there. When they see the general, the captain, or the lieutenant coming, they fall in place. Whoever is a higher rank, they automatically fall in place. They salute their their echelon leaders, and that's order. That's good. Now, but people didn't know the value. When the Lord was giving me revelation about following God, and he gave me the assignment to share with others how to follow God, people didn't have that revelation yet. That was something that they were just unaware of. They were not evil people. I don't want people to think that these guys were just insensitive. These were good men of God. But this is and the way that they learned things wasn't their fault. But the Lord was showing me a condition. All these men of God did wonderful things. These were good ministers. I've been blessed by them in messages. The Holy Spirit did use them to help me many times. But I have to say the truth. There were many times I had a message and I told them, and they would not let you preach. And it grieved the Holy Spirit because they didn't follow through with something he started. It grieved me because I thought they didn't have confidence in me. And it I wanted to do God's will, because that the word is in you like a fire shut up in your bones. It's not that in my heart I didn't want to preach to show off. I wanted to do God's will. And the Lord knew that. And it was important to me. Because I take God's work very seriously. Sometimes people may not, you know, people can't tell what's in your heart. They go by what's in their heart. They may have thought, well, that's just a young preacher want to preach and stir a crowd. And, you know, they may have thought negative, but the Lord gave those messages. I could feel it. Until the day came that I was supposed to minister and I didn't get to do it, then it would lift. And that grieved me. It grieved him too. Grieved the Holy Spirit. But see, many things are lost through our lack of knowledge. I'm not trying to run these men down, but I know for a fact that you're going to run into it. And other good men of God run into it. Some people backslide over it. Some ministers out there, they used to be good men of God, but they got hurt. And then they just stopped going to church because they got hurt. They stopped endeavoring. Because they got hurt. They still love God, but they don't go to church anymore. Or they don't attempt to follow God in their ministry anymore. They let what other people did, you know, cause them to back off. And you can't go into that trap. That's a trap. You don't let people cause you to back off. You are somebody's lifeline. You have to contend for the faith. And the enemy will use any willing person to give you wrong advice, to help, to cause you to feel bad, to hurt your feelings, so that you'll back off. And I always regroup. And I asked the Lord questions. And the Lord started teaching me how things should be. What he intended. He would sometimes show me what would happen if people thoroughly obey him, and what would happen if they didn't. So when he showed me the wonderful things that will happen when his people obey him, I got very motivated, because I love people. It stirred my love walk. It stirred me up in my heart because I love people. I saw potential in those pastors. I saw great potential. I saw what the millions of people that was going to be blessed if they would only follow God's plan. And I saw how the plan that they was endeavoring to do was just ruining everything. They weren't going forward like they should. They were off track. So we have to train to do this. Now, so I was motivated. But people judge things based on how they see things. That's something that we all have in common. We judge things according to how we see them. Titus chapter 1, verse 15, it reads, unto the pure all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now, this is why the Lord had me dealing with the Laodicean church and how bad it is to be lukewarm. When you're lukewarm, you're not at yourself. You don't think the same. You can't see the blessings that are about you. You can't see your vision. The soul is, it becomes dim of what the Holy Spirit can truly do in your life. And the love of the world causes you not to walk toward God, but to sadly walk away like the rich young ruler walked away from Jesus and his perfect plan. See, his perfect plan would have helped him come out of the trap of his possessions, because he would not obey God because he had great possessions. And with great possessions, you get prestige with it. People treat rich people, wealthy people, even educated people better than others. And they begin to like it. So the Lord said, give away, go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, come and follow me. The Lord knew himself that this man can't lose sowing and reaping. In God's garden, if you plant, you will reap. You can't sow good seeds and not reap them. He was going to distribute it to the poor. That would have got his mind. If he would have obeyed God, even grudgingly, he would have learned soon that would have been a blessing, because he would have started putting God first, and he would have recovered more than he ever gave away. But he would have been corrected. He would have been rich and corrected. He would have had a single eye on the Lord. He would have done great works. He would have been blessed. He would have caused other people to be blessed. A rich person has a louder voice among poor people, especially when they're being a blessing to them. So all these wonderful things would have happened had he just obeyed. A lot of things that you can't learn until you obey. People can tell you about it all day, but there are some lessons you just can't learn until you obey the Lord in faith. Now, the men that and women that the Lord sent me to remember, to the pure, all things are pure, but to them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. People see things according to how they see them. In order for new vision to happen, you have to trust God, take him at his word, and act on it. That's true for every soul. Now let's go back and look at Titus chapter 1. It says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the commandment, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting or lacking, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, but not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now watch verse 10. For there are many unruly, vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. He's talking about Jewish Pharisees and people that are taught by them. And remember, the generation after gets worse than the previous. That's why I said in the last broadcast, some of the crowd that Pilate was trying to deliver Jesus to when he offered them one of the prisoners was worse than the Pharisees. And then they chose Barabbas. Verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Now these are people that are sitting in the seat of Moses, you know, and they are subverting whole houses, trying to turn them away from Jesus Christ, the Word of God, who they say they love so much. They say that they love the Word of God, but when the Word became flesh and came among them, they wanted him dead. So they wanted God on their terms, not by the terms of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always a true representation of the heart of God. The Holy Spirit will help you understand the Word of God in its intended form. So when you study it and you're endeavoring to learn, it opens the door for the Holy Spirit to enlighten your mind and fill your heart with God's Word correctly. Rightly divided Word is the only thing that gives you faith. You can't get faith. You can never, ever get faith from error. You can't get faith from error. And the Holy Spirit he won't guide you in the error. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the comforter. He comforts us with truth. He can't comfort us with a lie because he's pure. He's holy. I asked the Lord, what's your definition of holy? He said, supreme purity. There's no flaws. Just like crystals has nothing, but it's just pure. It's clear. So is the Holy Spirit, pure. He said, verse 12, and they were doing all this for money. See, if they keep people interested in what they were saying, people will come to the temple and they'll end up with money. That's why I said I'll never compromise. I watched what other people did, and there was a prophet that came to me once. And he said, he encouraged me not to do what he said. The Lord didn't teach you the things he did so that you would be better than others, but so that you wouldn't make those same mistakes. So the Lord put me in a position to learn things that I couldn't learn on my own. He knew I'd cooperate, and I did. And it helped me to, you know, the way I judge things is, if I see somebody doing something, I don't put myself above them. Just like with the drugs, I saw people that I knew get on drugs. I said, well, drugs did that to them. I know it'll do that to me. And they were smarter than I was, so I'm not going to do drugs. Now, that's the kind of attitude I took. I'll never try it because of what it did to him and her. Well, these preachers meant well, and they didn't have all the facts. Now, some of them may have, I don't know. I can't judge a man's heart, good or bad. But I didn't, you know, I remember, again, I may not be the best qualified judge because to the pure, everybody's pure. And I always like to see the good in people. Because when the Lord helped me when he saved me, I wanted more of him. I wanted to be like him. I used to read the Gospels every day when I first got saved. I would read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then I'd start over. I'll read the teachings of Jesus to see what he had to say. Because I wanted more. And I judged all Christians as being that way. But all Christians are not like that. They are not trying to endeavor. Some of them are glad they saved. But the ones that I was around, they were endeavoring to learn. Most of them were endeavoring to learn. And they talked. That was their conversation. That's what they wanted to talk about. That's what they wanted to do. That's the kind of songs they wanted to hear. So the pure, everybody's pure. That was my mindset, but it was not true. It's not true that if you're pure, everybody's not pure. Everybody don't have the faith that you have, the kindness, the love. They don't see things. They see things the way they see them, good and bad. However they see them, that's just the way it is. Okay. Verse 12, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Now, they judge people in a subverted way because they're not pure. Verse 13, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. This rebuke was to correct them. Paul didn't hate them. He wanted to correct them so that they wouldn't be lost and cause more trouble. Verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Then he made it clear, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. And they end up acting like Saul if they don't stop. Verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. Now, we have to keep all these things in mind, because as you endeavor to know God, everybody's not going to get on that bandwagon, but the Holy Spirit is. And he always trusts him. You're not going to always, things won't always go your way. But don't worry about it. God got you. He's going to guide you, show you how to love them, and bless you in the process. Even when you're not put first. Even when you're disrespected. Even when you're misunderstood. I was misunderstood. I was so misunderstood, I got used to it. And then it didn't bother me, because God kept showing me what to do. And the things that he gave me to do, they worked. And I thank God for that. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to move and bless us. He's with us by his Spirit.